Good morning, Rock Bible Church. Oh, wow. That's the best good morning I've gotten in months from you guys. Usually you're still talking or still waking up. Amen. Hey, I say this sometimes, and maybe it feels like repetitive enough, it loses its meaning. For me, it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. For some kind of special reasons that probably few of you know about. Yesterday was a ministry day, and it was a great day. Leslie Barnett's family had a ceremony yesterday for someone they lost, and we got to host, and they did a ceremony in here and a reception out there, and a bunch of you helped and such. And I was thinking about this as I was driving. I'll explain that in a second. Leslie, you have done so much for our church in so many ways. And it was such a blessing to be able to serve your family yesterday. And it was awesome. So, and then I left from there, got in the car, and drove out to the Central Valley where a family wanted to do a family baptism. Mother, son, and then dedicate the new grandson in the river on their property. We had to take an ATV. It was the most different baptism I've been a part of, but it was great. And to see, gosh, there was almost 20 of their family just gathered around down in this little river, no one else around, you all surrounded by mountains and trees and stuff. And to take God's creation and dip it in God's creation water for people to have acknowledged that they are God's creation was quite the moment. And then I drove home wet for 3 hours. But what a great day. And a reminder, why are we here? I had a discussion with somebody about purpose. You know, it was our purpose to save people, our purpose to witness, our purpose to this, and da da da, and I'm supposed to do this. So, no, your purpose on the planet is to have a right relationship with God, first, foremost, maybe even only. That's ground zero. Now, if you get to second level, good for you. But let's start there. And one ended that journey yesterday, a few more started that journey yesterday. And what a great time! Great time. Gentlemen, would love for you to come hang out with me tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right out here. We're going to cook some sausages, open the scriptures, and talk about God and us. And would love for you to be part of men's Bible study, men's ministry, small group, 7 p.m., right out at the fire circle, right behind this building. So if you have questions about that, please come talk to me. I would love. We bite, and we have claws, and we're dangerous. But that's what you need, because guys got to be challenged. So we have a lot of fun, and there's stuff that can't be said anywhere else, if you know what I mean. So we'd love for you to join us in that. And then even better, 1 weekend from now, we're going to have a weekend full of that for guys. Men's retreat. We got a slide here with the QR code. There's handouts in the back. It's Friday night through midday Sunday. Would love for you to join us. Amazing teaching from Mark Campbell. He is one of the best, I think, on the planet for leading men. And then food, and we're going to go down to the beach, and we're going to do some other activities. Last year, we had umpteen guys go, and it was just amazing. And so I would love for you to come with me and enjoy that. And then if you're interested in that, come talk to me after. Okay? Now, some of you are like, wait, men's retreat? You're going to men's retreat? Yeah, but I'm coming back to preach next Sunday. So there you go. That question's over. Good morning and welcome to Rock Bible Church. And we are a Christ-centered church, yes? And we are a biblically based church? Yeah. And we're doing that so that we can compel ourselves and others to Christ. That's what I was talking about earlier. First and foremost, our purpose on this planet is to have a right relationship with the Lord. We live that way. We raise our kids that way. And we got to do it in casual ways, because some people are gun shy, scared. They think lightning's going to strike. if they get close to the Lord. And so we do it in ways that welcome them to worship. And then we be a community that serves. We serve ourselves, hopefully not too much, but we serve the greater community as much as we possibly can. And we find out how is it that we be obedient in our following of the Lord, right? You know, I want to make a small suggestion in how you think about and talk about your relationship with the Lord. Because people will say, have you come to Jesus? It's a great phrase. I like it. There's a better one. Do you follow Jesus? To come to Jesus is, hey, I come, I meet Dave. Hey, how's it going? One-time event, over. To follow Dave, well, you're going to get in a lot of trouble because you don't know where he's going to take you. And that is our relationship with the Lord. Amen? Amen? All right. We are continuing our series in the book of Luke, from Luke's eyes to ours, or to yours. And we're picking up where we left off before Passion Week. Did a little mini series on He Visits in Person on Palm Sunday. And then we did a little bit of that at the Lord's Supper service and then Easter as well. And now we're back into where we picked up before that, Luke chapter 8, verses 26 and following. Let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Lord, thank you for all the ways that you allow us to connect with you. Thank you, Lord, that you design all of it. We're going to see that this morning in this passage. And at the same time, somehow you give us a choice in it. You give us a will. Pray that you would help us to adjust our will to your will, as you had your son say, not my will, but your will be done. And I pray, Lord, we see that in the passage and then figure out how to see it in our own lives as we activate our own agency. We pray to that end this morning, this time, your word, your spirit guiding it in honor of your son, Jesus Christ. And all people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. We're just finishing a section where Jesus has done some things, done some teachings, and now he's going to transition. Here's how we know. When they sailed. Okay, so clean break from what has just happened. Now they're sailing. Eventually, when you sail, what happens? Like, you got a port somewhere. You got a beach somewhere. I want you to see where they beach and what happens, because this literally is a crazy story. Okay? Sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when Jesus had stepped out on the land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. What's the worst part of that sentence? The S. I think the S is the worst part of that, right? I mean, I don't want a demon. But if it's going to go plural, I'll take the singular. Joking aside, knowing what you know from one sentence, how's this guy doing? Yeah, you're so nice and clean. Horrible. Horrendous. Worst condition he could probably ever be in, and probably will ever be in his whole life. This is catastrophic. Watch what happens, though, because Jesus has a tendency to fix things when he shows up. For a long time, he had worn no clothes. I'm sorry. This is just me. I'm your pastor. You got to get used to this, okay? It's bad enough that you got a bunch of demons, and you think, oh, I can't get any worse. No? You know that phrase, it can always get worse? And he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. We have crazy naked guy in the graveyard for a while. I can't even picture this. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, what have you to do with me? That would have been a complete sentence. But watch what he adds. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Now, we've established it's plural demons. Did they know who Jesus is? Yes. They're more clear on who he is than we are, than they are. And they poke the bear. Hey, they start the conversation, which I think is odd. I mean, avoidance would be a great tactic at this point for them. They want to survive. I beg you, do not torment me. Demons begging Jesus. Does that feel a little off? It should. Now, there's what we're going to do for the next few verses. There's that little three-letter word that I beg. I want you to set that on the side of your brain, because that word's going to come up a bunch more times in the next few minutes. I beg you, do not torment me or us. What's our expectation? Jesus is in the business of punishment, tormenting. They got it wrong. They got it wrong. It would have been a much better request, you know, a better beg. Hey, redeem us, save us, fix us, straighten us out. Is there a desire to change? No. There's a desire to get an avenue or a pathway to keep being what they're being. And yet they recognize who Jesus is. And they know that they're part of this. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the desert. So they couldn't even contain him. That's why when Jesus gets off the boat, like, wait, I thought they shackled him. Well, yeah, well, they couldn't shackle him. That's why Jesus steps onto the shore, and here he is. He's on the loose. Jesus then asked him, what's your name? And he said, Legion. For many demons, there's that terrible S, had entered him. And they, this is the interactive portion of the morning. I'm going to say two words, and then you're going to read out loud the third one. Ready? And they, twice now. They're asking, they're petitioning to Jesus. They begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. That's such a better word than hell. It's a little more cosmetic, right? Have they missed Jesus' heart, Jesus' intention, desire, trajectory? Is it Christ's desire that his creation, his entities end up in hell, or does he have a better desire than that? Now, demons that want to stay demons, you're in trouble. But at any point, you have a choice to change, to turn. And they've yet to do that, and so they still see Jesus as this punisher. I want today for us to challenge that concept. Is Jesus really a punisher? Because I'm going to make the argument that he is not, never has been, and never will be. I have a verse. It's coming up. Okay. Now, verse 32, a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. Wait a minute. Haven't you guys figured it out? Don't torment us. Don't send us to the abyss. Hey, I know. There's a better third option. Let's go hang out in a herd of pigs. Okay? If I ever asked you, hey, you guys want to go hang out with a herd of pigs? You'd be right in your fear and assumptions of my condition. They're off. But watch this next sentence, because this next sentence is a theological boulder. So he gave them permission. Whoa. Did Jesus make the decision? Well, he made the decision for permission. But who picked the pigs? The demons picked the pigs. Like, you could have picked something better. Hey, if you get permission, let's pick something good. And they say, no, we want to go hang out with the pigs because it's better than tormenting and it's better than the abyss. Well, I suggest that there are other options. It's the smallest of thinking. But watch this. Jesus says, oh, you want to be with the pigs? I'll let you. In this exchange, who has the authority? Jesus. And yet, who does he allow some responsibility? The demons. What if they get to choose? And he'll go with their choice. I liken it to my experience with my own demons, my kids. A lot of times, I just let them, right? Because what's going to come out of that? It's a very famous, very well-known phrase in my family: learning curve. Hey, I told you not to, but I let you, and now you're here asking me for help because it didn't work like I said it wouldn't work, and you're surprised why you're hurt or lost resources or whatever. Does Jesus torment people? No, but he'll give them permission to be tormented. Watch this one. Does Jesus send people to the abyss? The demons think so. Jesus sends no one to hell or the abyss. He'll give them permission. And here is where I want to mess with your theology for the rest of your life. Somebody asks you, are you going to hell? One, you might want to walk away. Okay, there might be questions about it. Somebody asked that question to you. Here's your answer. I've decided not to. Now, somebody really intense, you know, the card-carrying Pharisees?
Well, you don't get to make that choice.
Oh, actually, I do. Because Jesus will give me permission to go to hell if I choose it. But more importantly, Jesus will give me permission to go to heaven if I choose it. This is a choice of a new generation. That's why if Jesus drank cola, it would be Pepsi, not Coke. I was looking at this and I realized, wait. God will have people in hell. God will have people in damnation, be tormented, all that kind of thing. But is that his desire? Never. And yet we think something bad happens and we go, why is God not me? Well, I mean, he could be doing that. He might not call it tormenting. He might be like, I'm getting Fred's attention. I'm going to smack him in the back of the head a few times because it might hurt a little bit, but that's how I get his attention. It's not tormenting. It's I'm trying to get him on the path because I want to get him to a place where he chooses better options than torment, abyss, or herd of pigs. And I want him to start wearing clothes and stop doing the things that invite evil in. All of those are our choice. I think permission in this passage is one of the greatest words for us to recognize. Because on the positive side, Jesus on the cross has solidified that you have permission to go to heaven. Is that pretty good? What's better? What's better than going to heaven? Wait, Scott, I'm in church and this feels like a trick question. I know the answer is Jesus, but I don't know why. How about you start spending time with Jesus before heaven? You mean I don't have to wait? I mean, I love fast food because I drive up to the window and it's there. Now, the analogy breaks down right there because of food value and quality. Okay, so we're not going to take it any farther. But what if you could have Jesus as kind of like a drive-through experience? As whenever you want to access him, he's there. Because here's the tragedy of so far in this passage. The demons had drive-through Jesus. And they got to ask him questions and beg him three times. And they messed it up. Good news, I know you never will. You'll pick better options because you realize that you have choice. And you know the dark side of the fear of the Lord is that you would choose against him and he'd let you. I give you permission. Lord, protect me from myself. Amen. That's one of my favorite prayers. Because I am starting to recognize more and more when I'm off, when I'm missing the point, when my heart is sideways, when my head is twisted, and when I need to get back to scripture, back into the book, back to his heart. Some just never choose that. Demons being a tremendous example. Verse 33, then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. You know that phrase, careful what you ask for? I mean, isn't this the poster child story for that phrase? Careful what you ask for, you'll get it. And if God is a God of permission, that's weird. You know, he's a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's a God of sacrifice. Great. You ever thought of God as a God of permission? Some of you are looking to recover from, heal from, fix something. What if you just accepted God's permission for that to happen? Unbelievable. Let's get a better example of this. Let's move forward. Verse 34. When the herdsmen saw, what do herdsmen do? They're the men that herd, right? What were they probably herding? Okay, all right, here we go. They heard what happened. They fled and told in the city and in the country, basically everywhere. Then people went out to see what happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, which I love. He could have said just sitting. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. What was the fear about? The fear is about the awesome display of power. I think some of my favorite times are when Jesus goes, look what I can do. And something drastic, actually we call it miraculous, changes. They decide to be afraid of that. Which is weird. Somebody's not afraid. Have we figured out who's not afraid? Crazy naked man. Crazy naked tomb raider. He's sitting at Jesus' feet. Which I'm still curious why this was poignant to me. But if somebody's sitting at your feet, they're right in front of you. It wasn't by his side. It wasn't behind him waiting to follow where he went. It's right in front of him. That's direct relational. In fact, guys, not gals, guys, get a little awkward if you get right in front of them. If you get right in front of them and you get eye contact. This is intense. Guys, we do, you know what guys do? Guys do this. We do side by side. Hey, should we fix that thing? What, you got the tool for that? We like a project where we can do shoulder to shoulder. But the face-to-face thing, See, he feels awkward. I feel awkward. Because it's intense relationship. Now, well, man, we got your attention. That's why you ladies are so much better at it. You just sit and have coffee and talk for hours. Get through your 10,000 words and order another coffee. And I'm like this. I can't do it. It's hard enough for me to get guys sit in a circle. Sitting at his feet. Those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man, those who had seen it, witnessed it, watched it, had been healed. And this is weird. Shouldn't it say had been exorcised? Right? I mean, it was so much more fun to say, exorcise the demon. Woo! No, they use a very weird word. Healed. Implies he was sick. Ooh. Draws attention to the idea that the demon thing was probably a somewhat of a choice due to some kind of sickness, probably twisted thinking or corruptness in the heart. The Bible calls it hardness of heart. Again, decision. And Jesus comes in and says, here, let me take the trash out, but more importantly, let's work on you. I love that. Now the demons aren't the biggest problem and never were. Wow. God's obviously the most powerful, and what just happened in this equation, we just became second on the power scale. We like to say, oh, the devil, he scares me, the demons, they scare me. No. Greater power is in him than he was in the world. Amen. Right? What did I say was my favorite prayer? One of my favorite prayers? Lord, protect me from myself. No one can do more damage to me than me. Now it's like, oh, hey, I'll deal with the demons later. I got to get myself straight. Does that sound like proper theology? Absolutely. Healed. He'd been healed. Then all the people surrounding, verse 37, for the country of the Gerasenes, asked him to depart. Hey, could you leave, please? We want crazy naked man in the graveyard still. That's not what they're asking. What are they saying? You need to leave because your ability, your power, your influence, we're not sure we're ready for that. We're not sure we could handle that. In fact, that would take too much work. It'll be easier for us if you can you go do your stuff the next town over? We think there might be some crazy people over there too. Could you go check it out? What a weird thing for them to say. I'd be like, hey, can you come over to my house? I got some candidates for you. Stay here. For they were seized with great fear. There's that fear again. So he got into the boat and returned. Why is that sentence important? Because it parallels the he gave permission. You know, part of the he gave permission is he listened and did what they asked. Jesus here listens and does what they ask. Wait a minute, I thought God was sovereign and makes his own decisions and control of all things, and yet somehow they get to have a conversation with him and he goes with the conversation? Folks, this is exciting. Sunday, April 19th, 2026 at Rock Bible Church. We just figured out you can have a conversation with God that works on your side of the equation a little. I love that. I need a boss that listens and works with me. You ever had that boss? Nobody's ever had that boss? Folks, I've had that boss a couple times, at least twice. Amazing men. One named Laren, one named Tim. There's probably more. I'm just not referencing it. Have you ever had a boss that listens and works with you? Yes. Okay, good. All right. I know you're just like, you got the Sunday mute thing going on, right? We're at church. Careful. If you make any noise, Scott will call you out. No. Verse 38, the man from whom the demons had gone begged. What's with all the begging? That he might be with Jesus, with him. And Jesus sent him away. Wait a minute, you broke the pattern. You've been listening and then going along with it. We finally asked for the best thing. Hey, I want to be with you. And Jesus says, oh, no. I don't like you. I helped you, but I don't like you. Is that what's going on here? Say no. He's saying, I have something better. Maybe not sort of better for you, but better for the kingdom for sure. Return to your home because the grass is never greener. And where you live, where you're planted, declare how much God has done for you. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. If you get out your outlines, it says Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through 39. And then you look down a little bit farther and there's a verse. Most every week I try to put a verse in there that I think encapsulates what we're going to cover that morning. That last verse, I put it on there. That's the point. You have choice. He'll give you permission. But have enough of a relationship. Be part of his story, part of his journey, enough that you have a story to tell yourself. And start spinning on this. Some rhyming kind of things came out of the passage, and I just had a little head of fun, right? You see the title, Begging for a Part. Did we see begging a bunch of times? We did. But we begged for a bunch of different things. Different people begged for different things. And I'm going to suggest to you, you got at least from this passage, you got four different things you can beg for. Ask for. Ready to get into it? Yes. This can be a little goofy. First one is the demons. Now you might write this off to the side. The demons. What did they beg for? They begged to be a part of what was going on. Hey, could you not torment us? Can you not send us to the abyss? Can you? How about the pigs? Can we do the? I mean, we want to be a part of what's going on. We know you're a part of what's going on, but we don't want to be a big part of what's going on. Can you send us off to the side where we'll be out of the way? I want to be a part. I want to attend church, but I don't want to really do anything about it. I want to call myself a Christian, but I'm not going to pray before I eat or, you know, serve anywhere. Or I never tithe. I just want to be part of the club. Can I be in there? Can I sign one of those membership documents and then just kind of show up? Actually, can you give me a uniform? I want to be on the team, but when you call me at mid-first half to go into game, I'm going to say, Coach, I don't feel so good. Can I just sit on the side and watch? I mean, I want to be on the team. I want to have the uniform, but I don't want to play. It's the weirdest thing. I've had coached high school soccer for almost 30 years. Okay, let's not do that math. And I can't tell you how many times guys have worked their tails off to make the team. And we train every day pretty much. And they're in the best shape of their life. And they're way better shape than I am. Right? And then it's time. It's like, hey, Freddie, come on. It's your turn. Jump off. Get to the midline. Sub in. Coach, I'm not feeling good today. I was like, we worked all this time to get to this place, and you want to be a part, but the part you want is going to be off to the side next to the water. I got a spot for you. Here's a stat sheet and a pen, the clipboard. Here, write down how many shots we get. I'll see you at practice tomorrow. There's so many people. In fact, the majority of people fit into this category. I just want to be a part of it, but not too much. What do those people get? They get a participation trophy. I did not say that for you listening online. If someone else over, right over here. Initials might be DA. Anyways, threw me off, dude. Good job. That was awesome. We've got to get to where we want to be more than just a part. If you think about it, in almost every other scenario, do you want to be in the family or just want to be a part of the family? Well, I'm a part of the family. I know my name. But I'm not loyal to them. I don't show up for events. I don't help them when they're moving. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, you think you're a part, but you're not really a part. Bit player. I love when athletes talk about posters that are posters of them. You know, they're dunking or somebody, and they like to tease the other guys who are in the background. Yeah, posters about me dunking. You're just in the background. You photobomb my highlight. You can do that as a Christian. You can have nominal, minimal experiences with God and have very little to talk about. And then when things happen, you're going to question it and you're going to worry. You're going to call the pastor and then I'm going to walk you through how we can make it better. You know, none of that's necessary. You start talking to the Lord on your own, begging him. Hey, I want to be a part. I want to be a part. I want to be part. Number two, I want to be part of this. What's the healed, sane, clothed man say? Take me with you. Take me with you. Right? In fact, I think he was singing a song. I think it goes like, Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. Did we sing that this morning? Did we, James, Denise? Yeah. Come have your way among us. That's the banner cry of somebody who wants to be part of what's going on. Can I save anybody? No, but I want to be part of it when it happens. I want to be there. I want to help. I'm extremely limited. And I'm loving it more and more and more. Your will, not mine. But let me be there. I want to be on the field. I don't even need a uniform. Some of us do it anonymously. Do you know that? Some of the greatest volunteers in our church are anonymous. They do things, they give things, they fix things, and they tell no one. Every once in a while, I sneak up on them. And I'm like, you're really being a part of this church. And they're like, don't tell anybody. I'm a spy. My joy is doing this, not being known. I see some people want attention for being a part. People that want to be part could care less about the attention. In fact, they want all the attention to go back to God and then see how many other people can they can get to give their attention to God as well. Amen? I love Crazy Naked Guy. He absolutely figures it out. The herdsmen, the people from town, they come out, they want to, hey, what happened? Chasing the ambulance, they want to see what happened. Was there a train wreck? I want to come see the aftermath. I don't believe it. I don't believe that guy's sane anymore. No, I know him. He chased me out of the graveyard every time I go to pay my respects to my long lost one, loved ones. I got to go see it. I want to see part of it, but I want to keep a distance. I'll watch from a distance. I'm not even going to be a part of it. In fact, I don't even think I'm a part of it. I just want to see. I'll watch. I'll witness. This is the atheists. It's kind of the outside. It's like, yeah, I don't know if there's a God. In fact, I don't think there's a God. And if there was a God, he doesn't do anything. Powerless. No heart. In fact, it's better if he's not around, because if he was around and he acts the way he does, then I don't like him. What? You want to see something? Why do we watch things? There's a gain. Why do you watch the pot of cioppino as it's cooking? Well, that would be a smell thing. That's not a watch thing. It smells really good. If I'm close enough to see it, I definitely can smell it. I get that. Why would you watch a pot of cioppino while it's cooking? We call it quality assurance. Make sure there's no fire and that boiling over doesn't put out the burner. I mean, there's so many ways this could go wrong. Yes, I watch the pot of cioppino because I want cioppino. I want a good meal. I cooked cioppino this week. It came out okay. But I had to be part of it. rather than just watch it or witness it. I had to get one of those stir spoons. I had to measure salt and measure pepper. All of a sudden, I got cups and tools. I thought, ah, so much work. It's your relationship with the Lord, folks. You want to be part, you got to get yourself a tool bag. Get some energy. Use your brain, use your heart, and jump in. That's how you be part of it. If you want to watch, we say this at soccer all the time. You want to watch, buy a ticket and go sit in the stands. If you need to watch for a little while because you're trying to figure it out, that's different than just watching, rather than just watching a show. You know, you're doing math in your head and trying to figure out what's going on so that you can actually accomplish something later. And it works. You can watch and just listen in math class and learn math. It's the weirdest thing. It happened in eighth grade. Mr. Dunn, math teacher, Canyon Middle School, advanced math class. Just hilarious. The advanced part, I think. None of us were advanced. Anyways, he said, I'm going to put up on the whiteboard multiplication problems, double-digit numbers. Two digits. And then we're going to have a contest. In fact, I'm going to give you one of you a list of numbers, or you could just make up any two numbers, but they have to be double digits. You read them out, and I'm going to do the math problem, and then a student is going to do the math problem, and whoever finishes first wins. None of you will beat me, but in the chance that some accident happens and you win, you get $20. Some of you have heard this story before. And I thought, okay, so this is me. This is how I think. Oh, there's a trick. There's some kind of trick. We're being baited, and he's going to switch on us, or he's pulling a fast one, I know. So the moment the word $20 comes out, all these hands like, oh, I want to do it, I go. And there was literally double digits of people go up there. All right, 39 times 27. And he's done. Student of my buddy, he's over here still doing long division of the first line and the second line. He's already done, and he's, you know, tallying. And beat him by like 15 seconds, and it kept happening over and over. You know the smart girl in class that gets everything right, 100% on all her tests, studies all the time? He even beat her. It was so great. I'm like, I don't need to go up there. I don't need to lose to the teacher. And I just sit back here and watch and have fun. I can just see what's happening. I love watching her get beat. And Tim, man, he just brags to me all the time. If he beats me by one percentage point, yeah, but you couldn't beat the teacher on the test. I know he's going to say to me, well, yeah, well, you didn't even try. I said, yes, but I didn't lose. That's the thinking. But I decided to watch. And there was this weird thing that Mr. Dunn was doing. I forget what it was. I'm sure McGrogan can explain it later. But he was doing in his head some cross thing, ding, ding, and he was just writing out the answer. But he was right, you know, when we do a math problem, you start on the right and you start to write the answer from the right to left. After two lines of multiplication, and then you add it, and then you go this way. He was skipping the two lines, and he was just writing the answer, but he was writing it from left to right, rather right to left. I was like, oh. There's some kind of pattern. I got to figure it out. And I'm watching. I watched like 2-3 times. I'm like, oh, I figured out the pattern. And it was the point in class where, you know, 16, 20 people had gone up. They all got trashed. And now everybody's afraid to do it. Anybody else? No one, last one? I'll give it a shot, Mr. Dad. Everybody else lost? I might as well try. I was playing it up. And we got up there, and I just thought to myself, all I got to do is I just got to do the pattern faster than him. Sure enough, brrr, ding, $20, please. See, I want to be part of this rather than just watch it. I was a hero that day. It lasted for like 20 seconds. And then, as all good middle schoolers do, We just started hating each other again, right? So we want to see part. Last one is this, and this is the tragic one. You can beg to depart. Hey, you know, God, I need you to leave. In fact, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk to anybody about it. I ran into somebody the other day. This is the rough part of my role as a pastor. When I get outed in public, there's people that hate me because of what I represent as a Christian and as a pastor. And they're like, you know, I don't want to talk about this with you. I have a former student that I hadn't seen in a long time. I called him up. I said, hey, haven't seen you. I know you're in the area. It would be cool to get lunch or something, get a coffee. He's like, nah, I don't think so. I said, oh, okay. Sorry, I just, you doing okay? Your wife's good? He's like, yeah. I said, I'm not doing the religion thing anymore, and I know if we go out, you're going to talk about God, and I don't want to do that. Oh, where'd it go wrong? I hadn't seen him in decades, literally. And he would rather be apart from Jesus and choose that, tell Jesus to go away, and they can just keep doing his thing. Now, here's the good news. None of you today fall into that category. So, Scott, why are you talking about? Because you're going to run into those people all the time, because the road that leads to righteousness is narrow and few are those that find it. The road that leads to destruction is wide and many are those who find it. The odds are against us and the odds are extremely high that you're going to run into people that want to do A, C, or D. What's the most common answer in a multiple choice? C. There you go. I just want to see it. I don't want to be a part of it. In fact, if I see enough of it, I'm going to push it away, right? B is the answer. Okay, on your next multiple choice question, you're not sure, once you put B, see if it works. But you have the opportunity to be a Christian, be part of what's going on, and then help people that are in the other categories. Because there's A, B, C, and D when it comes to being a part. Amen? And if you want to be a part, you want to help other people a part, you give them a shot to come up and be right in the front row at his feet. Amen? How you doing, bro? Yes. Lord, we thank you for what's been discussed this morning. We thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us a chance to be part of a relationship with you. Help us as we pursue that. And we thank you for everyone who is trying to do relationship with you. Help them, support them, guide them. If you're this morning, you've never made that decision. The reality is you can really be a part or see the part for a little while and on your way to being a part. If you want to do any of those three, have that conversation with God and ask him for that. Father, we thank you for the offering that we're about to receive. Pray that you bless it and help us to be your church. And we pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. May you let him come have his way among you. And may you beg to be a part. Amen. Go with him.